Good morning and welcome to the Raider Wrap here on 27th day of December already. Just a couple more days left in the year before it all starts all over again. And we get an all new beginning for January 1. Jamie LaRue with you, your guest this morning. Your host, I should say, your guest this morning. We're going to have Matt Christensen on along with Tyler Hupton, one of the captains of the boys basketball team who are off to an amazing start. We'll also have Craig Cardinal with the Nordic team. He'll be coming in and we'll talk about the weather, if you will, because it's going to be crazy over the next couple of days. It's areas of dense fog throughout the afternoon. Otherwise, it's going to be cloudy today, warming up to 43. So it seems like, oh, this is an interesting end to the season. And then tonight, a slight chance of rain, and it'll be raining and snowing and drifting and blowing and all kinds of fun stuff tonight into tomorrow morning. Throughout the afternoon, they say there's 3 to 5 inches possible. It could be wet, it could be heavy, it could be blowing. There's 35-40 mile an hour winds. So it's going to be a good old-fashioned blizzard, basically. And for Sunday night, mainly snow throughout the overnight, and then areas of drifting and blowing snow, because we should get another 2 to 4 inches possible. So we'll just kind of keep our eyes on that and just see where we're at. Monday, a little reprieve, a little 20% chance of snow in the morning, and then it's going to be cloudy through mid-morning, then gradually clearing with a high of 12 above. Monday night, clear and a low of 0. Tuesday, cloudy with a high of 28. And then after that, the thermometer drops out. Let's just put it that way. It's going to be fun. We want to thank our sponsors this morning, Flaherty's, Northfield Lanes and Games, where even the name says fun. Let's take a look at our Raider scoreboard with Grant Selko, brought to you by Flaherty's.
Hello, Raider Nation. I'm your host, Grant Selko, and welcome to this week's scoreboard on the Raider Wrap. With winter break this week, we had very few Raider sporting events, so we have a short scoreboard for you this weekend. On Monday night, the Raiders girls hockey team traveled to Mankato to play East after their game was rescheduled last week due to weather conditions. The game was extremely competitive between the Raiders and the Cougars, a team ranked in the top 5 in section single A. And the Raiders started out on top in the first period with two goals, one power play goal from Reese Perutka, and one even strength goal from Olivia Simon. Ashlyn Pockert scored for the Raiders in the second period, but East matched her with their first goal, making the score 3-1 going into the third period. Each team scored twice more in the third period, Regan Crone and Lindsay Erickson each contributing one goal each for the Raiders, leaving the score 5-3 in favor of Northfield at the end of the game. They had their Christmas tournament coming up next week in Farmington, so stay tuned for the results of those games next weekend. The boys hockey team had a game last night against Detroit Lakes. The Lakers are second in their conference and on a 2-game win streak, so this was bound to be a tough matchup for the Raiders. Northfield ended up pulling away with a W 4-2. The Raiders remained third in the division with a 7-1 overall record. That's it for this week's scoreboard on the Raider Wrap. Tune in for more sports this week on KYMN 95.1, The One.
Host your perfect party at Flaherty's Northfield Lanes and Games. From intimate gatherings to grand celebrations, Flaherty's has everything you need to make your event unforgettable. Private event spaces for a personalized party experience. Delicious dining from elegant sit-down dinners to casual get-togethers. Flaherty's tailors it to fit your party's vibe. Book your party today at FlahertysNorthfieldLanes.com and bring fun, flavor, and memories to your next event. Flaherty's, where fun and flavor meet.
Well, thank you, Grant, for the update on this week's scoreboard. We want to talk to the head coach of the basketball team, along with Captain Tyler Hupton. And, gentlemen, we just talked about how you got off to a 6-1 start here during the season, and you did beat Mayo. Mayo's in first place, Matt, but yet you beat them early in the season. Are they the team to beat in that conference?
Yeah, I think Mayo, ourselves, and you look at Mankato East, you know, those are teams that are right there at the top that are all competing against each other and playing really good basketball.
Tyler, you captain this year, senior, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, awesome. You guys beat Winona pretty handily, 70-56 on Friday, December 19th. That seems like just moons ago, days ago. What have you been doing since the 19th besides eating pie and candy and cookies and stuff like that.
Well, we've been getting in the gym practicing. We had a shooting workout because we had one game, the Century game, where we had our shooting woes from the free throw line and from three, so we got some shots up, and then some conditioning in because never can have too much of that.
Right. So what do you do? What does the coach tell you when you guys are slumping at the free throw line? What does he tell you? Does he tell you to breathe deep, eat a Snickers, do something? What was he?
Yeah, take a deep breath, use our legs. Most fit is fatigue.
Yeah.
But so just using your legs, taking a deep breath, and not too big for the moment.
So how do you coach that up? How do you get your team to be more focused at the free throw line? They call it a free throw for a reason, right? Because you're not contested and whatever. But you're running up and down the floor for 8 minutes, and all of a sudden there's a foul, you know, and you got to go to the line. I mean, there is fatigue involved there. But how do you teach, or what do you want to teach them to improve their percentage throughout the year?
Well, the big thing is just having done this for 15 years or so, is just not to overreact and not underreact, right? And sometimes when you can make light of it a little bit. And I think down at Winona, we were shooting very poorly from the free throw line again, but we made seven in a row, and Eli Bengston was at the free throw line. I told him, hey, if you get this one, we're on a hot streak and we get to 50%, you know, from the free throw line. So, you know, just keeping things light, taking some of the pressure off with it, and then you just got to practice it, you
right?
Know, between those two things. And the guys have shot free throws all their lives. They know how to shoot free throws. It's just, you know, a matter of relaxing. And
is there a technique, though? Is there something that you could teach? You know, like, I remember I used to have my elbow was out a lot, and the coach told me to pull it in tight and then launch straight from there, because he said that my inconsistency came from the fact that this was my elbow was kind of just floating out there, so there was no consistency. And he says, if you bring it in and then you can, you know, just whatever, bring it so it's 90 degrees and then go from there. And crazy enough, he was right. It was crazy, but it really helped my percentage and my strategy. Is there something that you teach with that as well, or you kind of let them just do their thing?
Kind of a case-by-case basis. You know, some guys just need to relax a little bit. Some guys need some tweaks and adjustments on their form. Like Tyler said, sometimes just getting your legs into it, making sure you're, you know, a little loose and bouncy. And sometimes you get to the free throw line, you can feel a little stiff. So just relaxing and, yeah, just trusting your form and what you've been doing your whole life.
So, Tyler, you having fun this year?
Yeah.
I mean, you're, it looks like you're averaging about 14 points a game. That's kind of, you feel pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Are you power forward?
Point guard.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So that's nice. So that's why you're probably getting some assists up there, too.
We'll put him at power forward at some point here this year. He just doesn't know yet.
He doesn't. Well, I noticed that the assists per game, Caden is the big assist guy here. Isn't that usually the point guard's responsibility, Tyler, or am I wrong here?
Well, a lot of the offense goes through him.
Okay.
Which he draws a lot of double teams. So his ability to find guys on cuts or at the three-point line has been really good this year.
So where's your strength of your game? Is it going to the basket or is it pulling up for three?
Three-pointers.
Three-pointers, yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Do you like to take it into the paint a little bit, or?
Oh, I'll take it into the paint every once in a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
You keep them honest. Yeah. You keep them honest. You shoot enough threes, and then they get a little too tight.
Challenge them a little bit. And move out on them.
You add some strength in the summer, right? Yeah. Which helps a little bit when you get in the lane. You can finish through some contact and go finish.
I think I was saying that you were shooting about 37% from 3 points, and that's the team, obviously. Mm-hmm. Is that good? From a high school standpoint, coach? Or?
Yeah, that's very good from a high school standpoint. You know, usually around 30-32%, you know, is the range of where most teams fall, especially in the high school side. If you're shooting 40-plus, you're shooting very well. So, you know, I think we're trying to take a lot of inside-out threes, a lot of rhythm threes in transition. So just trying to take easy shots. You mentioned Caden before, right, of we want to get the ball inside, and when double teams come, yeah, triple teams come, you know, finding guys open and hands and feet ready makes it a lot easier to shoot.
Right. So, Tyler, how tall are you?
About 6 foot.
Yeah. Okay. So, but you're point guard. So, I mean, you do a lot of ball handling out in the top. So, what is your key responsibility as point guard? from the tip-off, from the opening tip-off, what does the coach expect you to do?
One, control the pace. You know, we want to, as a we're a fast team, so we want to get out and run in transition. But also at times, at the end of the game especially, sometimes we just need to throw it, slow it down, run some clock, get a good possession, try and get a layup or a wide-open three. And I think I've done a pretty good job of that. I mean, Coach can attest to that. But that's the big one of the biggest responsibilities. And
right.
Also just having an overall control of the offense, like maneuvering guys, telling them where to go for certain plays, if we want a certain defender in a certain spot, just stuff like that.
You like to get up and run? Is that the deal?
If we get stops. We get stops. So we tell them, you get stops, you can get out and run, right? And you can play free. When we don't get stops or it's dead ball possessions, we run a lot of sets, a lot of plays, and so we need to execute. And Tyler's done a really nice job of, especially this year, you know, last year as a point guard, you're just trying to figure things out. Now you're coming back and you have a better handle of things. So handing him more responsibility of understanding, hey, we're looking at these type of mismatches, right? This guy, this size guy here, this guy's slow. You know, we want to try and attack here, put these a little bit more chess, right? And so him understanding what we're trying to think of helps on the floor, because by the end of the year, you know, they're not going to hear my voice in a big section game, right? They're gonna have to rely on the point guard and the guys on the floor.
So how much work do you put in before each game? So right now on Monday, for example, you could take Bloomington Jefferson over in Hastings for their holiday tournament. How much tape have you seen on these guys? What do you know about them? What don't you know about them? How much work do you put in as a coach to try to help then get these guys ready?
Yeah, I had a really good mentor, Guy Cullen over at Carleton, and said, it's not what you know, it's what your players know and what they can do with it, right? But as a coach and a coaching staff, we feel responsible to be prepared, right? And then simplify the message of what we're doing. So, for example, with Bloomington Jefferson, I've watched 5 or 6 games of them, probably a good 8 to 10 hours, you know, worth of film and scout. And you need to take that information and condense it down into 1 or 2 practices, you know, and say, these are the most important things that we need to focus on that they're going to do. And here's what we're going to do against it. But you can't get too far out of what our core, you know, what we are as a team, right? We're not all of a sudden just going to start doing something we don't normally do.
Right. Right. And Tyler, how much of that information then do you watch tape too, or is it just he kind of communicates that to you, or does you guys sit down and watch some film as well?
We'll watch some film as a team, and then individually a lot of the guys will watch film on their own too.
Where do you get the film from? Just from the archives, coach give it to you, or is
yeah,
it on
it's
MNN?
On it's on our team huddle page. Yeah,
so it's available.
Yeah,
but you gotta have access to it. I couldn't watch that, right? Or could I?
You could watch huddle fan, which is like the fan version of it, and it doesn't cut things up as much and clip it, but you can go in and watch. So sometimes I can go on Huddle Fan. If I can't get the tape on a team, I can go to Huddle Fan and I can get access to the game. I just can't clip it and do some things I could normally do.
Right.
So coaches just find a way.
Are you watching fast forward speed? Are you watching actual speed? Because with all that time that you put into that, I mean, how much, you know, are you watching it fast forward?
So usually what I'll do is I'll watch the whole game through either at a 1 or 1.5 times speed, and then I'll go back after I have a feel for what's going on, and I'll look at possessions, and I'll clip things out, and I'll either look at how many times they've turned the ball over or how they're turning the ball over. I'll take individuals if I think they're pretty heavy, you know, as far as what their individuals are doing, and do an individual scout, and then we'll take their plays, you know, their offense that they're running, and try and figure out which ones they're doing the most, and then how we're going to guard it or how other teams have had success guarding them.
Or how you're going to then attack defensively to have them turn the ball over.
Correct.
It sounds like a lot of work to me, but I guess analytics and numbers don't lie. Isn't that right, Tyler?
That's right.
All right. Excuse me. We've got Bloomington Jefferson coming up. What do you know about Bloomington Jefferson, Tyler?
Well, my dad actually works there.
Oh!
So he knows a few of the guys.
Oh, so yeah. Your dad, is he feeding you some info, or has he got the inside track?
You went to one of their games, yeah. Yeah.
Did you come in through the backside and, you know, you get out there on the floor sweeping up the, you know, mopping up the floor, or what is the deal? No? Good? What do you think about them? You watched them. What do you think? How do you think you guys match up against them?
I think from a guard perspective, we match up fairly well. They're on the smaller side. their bigs are probably the way they go offensively. So, but with Caden and T-Holes, they've been done a great job all year guarding the posts, so I don't think we'll have much problem.
How tall is Caden? He sprouted up here a couple of years ago pretty good. And then
I think he's listed at 6'4".
6'4".
Yeah, that guy said listed.
Listed. That's what I mean, listed at 6'4".
By the time I was a senior in college, I was like 6'2", you know, about 200. So.
And, you
and
know,
now, I was about 5'11", 165.
So. So listed at 6'2". Yeah. Do they do that? My sister, when she grew up playing, they made her out to be 6'2". And, I mean, she was a really good basketball player, but there was no way she was 6'2", and everybody knew it. It was just kind of a joke in the roster. But do they do that? Do they pad the stats like that? Or what do you think?
Every year you're like, I must have gained, you know, like 10 pounds and grew an inch. That sounds about right. You know? And after 4 years, you know.
Right,
It's added up a little too much.
So you guys got to be kind of happy. I mean, you're out of the chutes. You've only got the one loss to Mankato East. Tyler, take me through that game. It was the beginning, you know, December 2nd. It was almost a month ago, but take me through that game. And it was a close one. It was tight. So kind of take me through that game, that first game of the season.
Yeah, that first half we played about as well as we could have played. We were up 20 or 18 or something like that at half. And then We were playing really well defensively, and then they came out of the half. They started making some shots, and we got a little bit rattled, I think. It was the first game, and things weren't going our way. But we managed to keep it close, and they made a shot at the end, and we just couldn't score to take back the lead.
No, just went cold or what?
Kind of, yeah. We had a few more turnovers in the second half. Led to some easy buckets for them. And
so you guys been working on the turnover factor there? Are you guys trying to hold the ball, keep that under what? Is there a magic number that you're looking at? 5, 6, 10? What is that a year? Well, a game, I should say.
Zero is the right answer.
Yeah. Zero is the right answer.
Yeah.
Zero is the right answer. However, there's got to be a, you know, if you keep it under, let's say, 10, do you think you're successful?
Yeah, 12 is kind of the magic number. If you can keep under 12, you're in a good spot, because you just have some spots where you're trying to go for a pass or a look or something, and it's a good idea. It just doesn't work out. You start creeping up above 12, and you get into 18, 20, 20-plus, you're making it really difficult.
Right. So you're, and especially if there's 20 of them and they can even convert half of them, that's a lot of points.
At one point, my sophomore coach in high school told me, you know, when in doubt, shoot. So, you know, it's
instead of throwing it away, just throw it up towards the bucket and hope Caden comes down with it, right? Is that kind of the deal?
We're working on offensive rebound a little bit, too.
So. You got any goals for this season, for your particularly for yourself or for the team or anything like that as your captain?
Well, the goal for the team is to make state. We haven't done it in, 96 years now? Something like that. So that would be really cool to do that. We've been working for it for 2 years now, at least. So that would be, that's the main goal.
So you're 6-1. You've won some games. You lost that one to Mankato East, so you had to come back. You've worked your way through now. You beat Mayo, which is good. And I'm guessing Bloomington Jefferson is going to be a good test for you. How do you feel when your goal is obviously to get to the state, but how do you guys feel as a team? I noticed you got numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So it's interesting. Did you ever, when you put all those guys out on the floor, I'd be, hey, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's a starting five.
That's kind of cool. But dynamics wise, chemistry wise, how do you feel about your team?
Yeah, well, most of the guys, almost all of us played last year. So the chemistry is been developed for a year already, which has allowed us in practice to progress faster than we otherwise would have. And we all know each other, so we're all kind of like aware what our tendencies are, is what we want to do, how we respond to certain situations, which has helped keep everybody together, which has always been a little bit of a problem. When adversity hits, we sometimes would split apart. This year, I think we've done a much better job of staying together and playing as a team.
Awesome. So, Coach, what do you want to say about your team this year? I mean, are you feeling the magic as well, or you got some work to do?
A little of both.
right? You know, it's one of those, especially this part of the year. First part of the year, teams don't scout you as much, right? So you can, we have them scouted pretty well. You know, that Mankato East game is a good example of, we were up by 26 in the first half. The guys executed the, you know, the game plan really well. And then East made some adjustments at halftime. We didn't make the adjustments. And it became a case of, you know, how do you not lose a game, not necessarily win a game? So it was kind of a painful process to go right through that and say, hey, here's the things we need to do. We need to rebound. Got to take care of the basketball. Can't give up threes. Got to be able to give up only twos. So just game situational stuff, and which came back to help us in Mayo because that was a close game. And you could just tell the guys were a lot more locked in and more situationally aware down the stretch, which has helped us in some close games. You know, this stretch of the year, we have a couple of these non-conference games here, and then we come back. We have two big home games on Monday versus Byron, which section opponent. They'll be one of the top teams, and Austin as well on Thursday. You know, so a big week right after, and just making sure that we're being really sharp, you know, in what we're doing in practice and and staying healthy. Healthy and not sick.
Well, there's that. How about injury-wise? Is there anything going on the team that just kind of shot you in the foot a little bit this year, or no? Everyone's been in good shape.
Yeah, for the most part. Guys get banged up a little bit, you know, here and there. Some sickness, you know, here and there. Some of that's happened over the break, so we're hopeful to be able to rest up a little bit and get everybody full strength.
Right.
You know, these two games are really important that are coming up, and then that next week is probably the biggest week, right? Because those have big section implications and big conference implications.
Right on. Well, hopefully you get the game in. It's the weather's supposed to be kind of nasty on Monday. Hopefully it'll be done.
We'll just snowshoe over there.
Perfect. Well,
cross country ski. They're coming over, right?
There you go. Well, the Nordic guys will be in here a little bit. Maybe they can teach you how to, you know, get over to Hastings over there.
Right.
That's be a long haul.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. Congratulations on a great start, Tyler. Good luck to you for the season, and just keep on rolling, man.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it.
All right. That is the head basketball coach, Matt Christensen, along with Tyler Hupton, the captain for your Northfield Raiders basketball team, off to a 6-1 start. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll go skiing. Yeah, Schlittschuhschlafen, as they say. Right here on the Raider app, 95.1 The One and AM 1080 KYMN, streaming on kymnradio.net.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bruss, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
Hello friends, this is Mark with Loon Liquors Distillery and Pizzeria, letting you folks know we're now open 11:30 a.m. serving lunch Wednesday through Sunday. In keeping with our mission to source as locally as possible, we mill our pizza flour on site using B&T Farms organic wheat grown only 10 miles away. Gluten-free and vegan options available, and we are very family-friendly. Alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages all made in-house from scratch. Hope to catch you in our new cozy location on 5th Street and let all that natural light wash your winter blues away. Cheers, friends.
Are you looking for a great place to throw a holiday party? What about an anniversary party? Or are you putting together a surprise party for someone's birthday? Or really, are you just planning a celebration? Discover the Lowdown at Armory Square, Northfield's coziest event space for birthdays, reunions, and private parties. It's intimate, it's casual, and it's just steps away from Armory Square's legendary AWOL Tiki Bar. With two in-house caterers and a full commercial kitchen, your event is in expert hands. Whether it's a laid-back bash or a stylish soiree, the Lowdown will always bring the right vibe. Book your celebration today at armorysquarenfld.com. The Lowdown, where good times get personal. New years bring new projects, and whether those projects involve graphic design, website creation, or banners for your business, the folks at By All Means Graphics and Graphic Mailbox are here to get your new year off to the right start. Our team will meet you where you are, from creating a concept to fine-tuning the designs that you already have, all with the top-notch service and smiles for which we are celebrated. With two convenient downtown locations, we can create, print, and produce anything from business cards to vinyl decals to signage. Need to ship? Whether it's across town or across the globe, we're the experts. Stop down at By All Means Graphics on Bridge Square or Graphic Mailbox in River Park Mall on Water Street, or go online at byallmeansgraphics.com and graphicmailbox.com. We look forward to helping you make this new year the best year ever.
Hi, folks. This is Natalie Draper. Tune in on the first Friday of the month at 8:40 for a discussion about what's happening at the Northfield Public Library. If you miss it live, you can find it at kymnradio.net or wherever you get your podcast.
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebank.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
Hi, I'm Greg Evans, President and Chief Executive Officer at Merchants Bank. This year, Merchants is honored to celebrate 150 years of uninterrupted service as a community bank. It's a milestone that speaks to our stability and strength as an independent local bank. It's a source of great pride, and we wouldn't still be here without you. Thank you to our friends, neighbors, local businesses, and loyal supporters who have trusted us as a financial partner. We're proud to have helped fulfill thousands of hopes and dreams since 1875.
Well, welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on the 27th day of December. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful holiday thus far. It's been kind of mild. It's been kind of nice, actually. And the mild temperatures out there. Yesterday was in the 40s, and you couldn't even imagine it was December. Well, hold your hats, boys and girls, because it's coming. Slight chance of some snow yet tonight. Looks like a chance of rain, actually, early on. Then a chance of rain throughout the night. And then patchy fog in the morning, cloudy skies. It's going to cool off to only around 31 for the overnight. And then for Sunday, early in that morning, you're going to start seeing some rain and some snow early on in the morning. Towards the noontime, it looks like it could turn to more snow than rain. Snow could be heavy at times. Widespread blowing snow, mainly later in the afternoon tomorrow. The temperature is going to start falling to around 15 by 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. The wind's going to pick up at 35 to 40 miles an hour, maybe a chance of 3 to 5 inches of accumulation possibly tomorrow afternoon into Sunday night. And then it's going to kind of keep on snowing all the way through out that overnight, cooling off to about 6 degrees or so. But the wind chill factor is about negative 14, so blustery with northwest winds 25 and gusts of 35 to 40 and a chance of 2 to 4 more inches possibly throughout Sunday night. Monday morning, just a slight bit of snow early in the morning as it tries to work its way out of here. Patchy and blowing snow early, cloudy throughout mid-morning, then gradually clearing with a high of about 12. On Monday, for Monday night, looks like mostly clear, cooling off to zero. Tuesday, some cloudy skies, but a high again of 28. And if we look at our extended forecast for Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, cooling off around 12. Wednesday, a 30% chance of snow, mainly in the afternoon, only a high of 17. Wednesday night, minus 4 degrees. And then for New Year's Day, it looks like sunny and cold, a high of 4 above. And then for that evening, Thursday night, it's cooling off to minus 8 with sunshine on Friday and 12 above. But like anything, weather is kind of unpredictable, so we'll kind of have to see what happens. And speaking of unpredictable, it's just been one of those kinds of years, and the Nordic coach, Craig Cardinal, joins us this morning. Craig, crazy. Just a crazy season, right? It's been a couple of years. You haven't had hardly any snow. This year it started off like, hey, it looks like things are looking up. We got some good snowfalls. Everything's wonderful. And then it warmed up and it all melted. Now we got a blizzard coming. Isn't this crazy?
This has pretty been an interesting year compared to the last couple of years where we consistently had no snow. It's happy that we've been able to train quite a bit right in town at the Carlton Arboretum already. And this new snow will be hopefully what we need to freshen those trails back up.
Right on. So you guys have been out and about. I think you've got it's not really a tournament, is it? It's just more of a training process coming up next week, right?
Yep, we're heading Monday through Wednesday up to Ironwood, Michigan, so right across the border from Wisconsin. They've got a lot of good trails, so we'll get just a lot of hours of easy skiing, plenty of technique work, kind of refining our skiing skill, and then when we come back, we race on the 3rd, on January 3rd in Winona.
So so hopefully, I mean, you're going to Monday, like I said, the snow is supposed to subside early Monday morning. What time are you guys heading out?
We're heading out at 6 a.m., so hopefully once we get to some of the bigger roads, they should be plowed pretty well, and it should hopefully only get better as we get further into the day.
So when you go up to Ironwood up there, is that you have to go up through the Duluth area and then cut across?
We've typically gone up through Hayward, like Highway 63, across most of Wisconsin, but if the roads are especially bad, we have gone the Duluth way just because the freeway is usually cleared a little more consistently.
Right, right. So let's talk about the Nordic team. I think you got off to a pretty good start, didn't you? I mean, like I said, we had some good snow, some decent snow. So you guys were able to get out there and get off those blades or those skates and finally get on some actual snow. So how many people you got out for the team this year?
It's a pretty good crew this year. We have 35 total, about 25 girls and 11 boys, I think. So a sizable team. We could definitely use more guys, but we've got enough to fill our varsity, so that's good news.
So you can't. So is it 6 or 7 that are allowed to skate?
So we score 5, but you can race up 10 on your varsity crew.
Okay, so you don't have enough for a JV for the boys.
No, right now we have some of them split between varsity and JV. Some of the newer skiers will move up as they improve throughout the season, but by the end of the season, we should be able to fill our whole roster with the varsity skiers.
And then with the girls, with 25 on the team, you still score the top 5 there, but how many people? So then you have a varsity and a junior varsity, and then everyone gets the opportunity to ski then?
Yep. So, yeah, have everybody racing. We have definitely the biggest girls JV team in the conference by a pretty good margin, and a really competitive scoring varsity team. So it's already been a couple tough decisions on who's going to fill those last couple spots on varsity and who's going to race JV. And that's going to continue to be a good problem for us to have throughout this season, I think, with a lot of really hard work on the girls' side.
So when you look at some of the competition that you've had this year, what do you like about the team? And then overall, what do you think about their opportunity?
Yeah, so we're 2 races in so far. We've had 1 skate and 1 classic race, which are the 2 techniques that we race in. And girls' team was 2nd behind Winona in both of those competitions, which is a really good sign for them as a team. So our conference is most of the teams that we'll see at our section meet, which is what you need to qualify for state. So being 2nd puts us in a pretty good position. There's always competition from Egan Eastview and a few other girls teams that I think will be strong, and we're not that far behind us, but a couple 2nd place finishes. Micaiah Patrika, our number 1 returner, was I think 3rd and 4th in those 2 races maybe. So really good initial showing from her as well. And just a strong crew of sophomore and junior girls. So I think we're not graduating anyone off of our girls varsity this year, which is really exciting.
Right. And then, like you said, the boys are a little bit down. So
yep. We have 2 really strong guys, Andy Amundsen and Max Beckman, our top 2 returners. They both put in a ton of work this summer, and it's really showing. So Max had a couple top 10s already, and Andy, I think, had a 2nd and a 3rd at our 2 conference meets. I know Andy's looking to potentially go for a conference win at one of the meets this season. It all kind of depends. Those top couple skiers are pretty tough, but he's right up there in the mix, so fun to see what he can do. And then for both of those 2 guys, we're looking at hopefully sending them to state as either individual qualifiers, or there's a relay event, a 2-person relay, so they may go in that as well.
So you did say that then on Wednesday you'll be back from Ironwood already and then competing?
So just 2 overnight, 3 days of skiing up there. Then we get back, take a couple recovery days, and then Saturday we race.
Okay, so Saturday in Winona.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, we'll see how things obviously pan out this week and see if we can get some decent snow out there. I mean, the extended forecast shows that the temperatures are going to be a little on the chillier side. So hopefully they won't melt back off again for you. So how was this past, well, you know, with the holiday right smack in the middle like this, and what were you able to get accomplished in the past 10 days?
So we've gotten quite a bit of training in. Being able to ski in town helps a lot, not pulling people away from holiday plans if you're only taking a couple hours of their day in the morning instead of the time to drive all the way up to the cities. But we also did get up to the Metro one day to ski on one of the courses we'll be racing later in the season. Got a couple good technique training days, a couple interval workouts in, and yeah, I've been making the thinning snow work every bit we can. The groomers did a good job when we had the snow of kind of tacking it down well. So even as everything else has melted off, the trails have been pretty well covered.
What kind of snow cover do they have up north? Did you do a search up there? Find out what's going on up there?
So yeah, Ironwood's definitely in the snow belt there. Get a lot of lake effect snow off of Lake Superior. They've got well over a foot of base, and it sounds like they're going to get hit with this storm that's getting us too. So things should be really fabulous. Everything's open and in good condition where we're going up there.
So will they groom the trail up there, or will you be on fresh powder? Is that affected anyway? And, you know, it's just a training trip, but yeah, how does that affect, and what is the benefit of that?
Yeah, so I would expect with the fresh powder that they'll try their best to groom it in. Depending on how late before it stops snowing up there, there may be some fresh snow on top of the grooming even. And that just kind of slows everything down, which on a training day isn't a huge concern. It means we'll cover less distance, but still get just as good a work in. Takes a little longer to get out to some of the far end trails of the system that the skiers really like to get to. So be some good hours, just maybe not at the same speed as they're used to.
Very cool. So what's, so today is what day is it? Saturday. are they skiing at all today? I know that you had to run up north here a little bit, but are they out and about today, or are they giving them a rest?
Yeah, most of the team, Saturday, we typically have them train on their own, but the captains often organize a practice. So I know a few skiers were heading up to the cities, a few were trying to ski in town on what's left of the snow down there. And then, yeah, bright and early Monday morning, we take off, and those will be three really big days. So get a rest day on either side of that.
So you'll be coming back on Wednesday night or Thursday morning?
Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. Okay, so they can enjoy the new year, if you will.
Yep.
Well, it should be interesting to see what's going to happen, you know. We'll see. I mean, usually, you know, the meteorologists, you know, they're 50-50 within 24 hours. And the longer you put it out there, the less the odds go down. But we're in that 24-hour window right now, so it looks like we could see some snow, but some rain as well. So this is going to be a blustery, kind of a blizzardy weekend here as we prepare for the upcoming week. So should be interesting finding out. Do you think the guys and gals will, if it does snow, let's say tonight and into tomorrow morning and whatnot, do you think they'll jump on their skis and go out and play, or are you going to advise them to chill out?
Oh, I'm sure there'll be some of them who try and get out. I would advise them to, you know, kind of keep things easy with the big training block coming out, but they can't pass up a chance to get out on fresh snow when you have it.
Right? You got to do it. You just got to do it. It's in your blood. Well, Coach, I hope you do well up there, and then come on back next week, and let's see how Winona shakes out, and let's just see if everything pans out for both the girls and the boys team this year. It sounds exciting.
Yeah, it should be a really fun season. It's just cool to see a lot of hard work from both the boys and the girls' crews, and people excited about racing, excited about training hard, which that's how you get better.
All right, Coach. Well, safe travels, and hopefully we'll see you when you get back from Ironwood.
All right, great to talk to you.
Yes, sir. Craig Cardinal, the head coach of the Nordic Ski Team. So they'll be heading up north to Michigan on Monday for some training, and then back on Saturday for some great skiing conditions, hopefully, in the area. So the boys' hockey team, they went up to Detroit Lakes last night. They were victorious last night. They'll be taking on Northern Lakes, which is up there in Crosby, Ironton. They'll be doing that today. They'll be taking on Crosby or Northern Lakes, if you will. And then next Friday, we have New Prague in town, and we'll be broadcasting that game live here on KYMN. I believe the drop of the puck is at 7:15 in the morning. So they had that one loss against St. Cloud Cathedral, and they have rebounded very nicely with two victories in a row. So we wish them the best of luck today as they take on Crosby Ironton as well. And we're going to try to get the girls basketball team and coach in here next week as well and talk about their transition this year and how they're doing. And we'll hopefully get them in next week to talk a little bit more about that. Maybe even some dance. Yep, we got to do some dancing. I feel like dancing, dancing, dancing out of way. Okay, I'll leave that song to the person who sings it. But we want to thank our sponsor today, Flaherty's, Northfield Lanes and Games, for helping sponsor this week's Raider Wrap. So stick around. We've got more coming up. We've got Meet the Raider with Grant Selko. We're going to talk a little bit about Ella Otting is on the docket for today's program. So stick around. And keep tuned right here to AM 1080 and FM 95.1, the 1 KYMN. Streaming on kymnradio.net.
The man, the yellow van, called Service Master.
Water or fire damage? The experts at Service Master by Iatt provide peace of mind when disaster strikes your home or business. Don't know what to do next? We do. Demand the yellow van and call Service Master by Iatt today.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
Every day, each and every one of us at Benjamin Bus feels privileged to safely transport Northfield students to and from school and many after-school activities. We thank you for trusting Benjamin Bus with your most precious cargo, your children. At Benjamin Bus, safety is always our number one priority. Our team of drivers has over 400 years of combined experience, and they pride themselves on their record of keeping the children of this community safe.
We at Benjamin Bus are proud of the accomplishments of the Northfield Raiders and wish all of the Raider student athletes a safe and successful season.
Join the Martin Luther King Jr. celebration on Monday, January 19th, 6 p.m. at Northfield High School. The family-friendly event is in English and Spanish. Enjoy live music and cheer as we announce the winner of the Human Rights Award with keynote speaker Dr. Quinnell Cooper, an educational leader and passionate advocate for equity and social justice. It's an inspiring event you won't want to miss. Get details at northfieldmn.gov/MLK.
Host your perfect party at Flaherty's Northfield Lanes and Games. From intimate gatherings to grand celebrations, Flaherty's has everything you need to make your event unforgettable. Private event spaces for a personalized party experience. Delicious dining from elegant sit-down dinners to casual get-togethers. Flaherty's tailors it to fit your party's vibe. Book your party today at FlahertysNorthfieldLanes.com and bring fun, flavor, and memories to your next event. Flaherty's, where fun and flavor meet.
Hey, this is Paul Ryland from Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers. I just want to take a minute and wish everyone a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And just take a minute to thank everyone who has built with us and helps us build homes every day. Many of you live in the community here, and we appreciate you and appreciate the opportunity to be a part of the Kim family as well.
Hit our website today, jrbr.builders. Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom-built homes meet your budget and your dreams.
Tune your imagination with me, Paula Granquist, on Art Zany Radio for the Imagination on KYMN 95 The One, airing Fridays and Saturdays at 9 a.m.
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on 95.1 The One, KYMN. Jimmy LaRue with you this morning, and it's a beauty. going to be a little warm today. It'll be warm today. It's going to get kind of nasty tomorrow with rain and snow and all kinds of fun stuff going around. So tomorrow will be an interesting day indeed. And then it'll wind up on Monday morning with some slop and some freezing temperatures and God only knows. But for the most part, we could see anywhere from 3 to 8 inches of snow, depending on where it goes. You know what I mean? If it goes a little bit farther north or farther south, it all depends. I guess we'll just have to wait and see, if you will. We'll just have to let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. We want to thank our guests so far this morning, of course. Thank you to Craig Cardinal, who we just talked to about the Nordic team there, and Matt Christensen, along with Tyler Hupton, captain of the boys' basketball team. They've been on this morning. And if you missed any of that and you'd like to hear it back, just go to kymnradio.net, go to programs, click on the Raider Wrap, and you'll find today's date when we're done, when the program's over. We'll have that up on the air, on the airwaves for you, so you can listen back, listen to all the great interviews from this morning. And speaking about great interviews, let's get going on this week's Meet the Raider with Grant Selko. Grant?
Hello and good morning, KYMN fans. You are tuning into this week's Meet the Raider on this week's Raider Wrap. I am your host, Liz Campbell, and today in the studio, we have swimmer and rock and roll dancer and singer, Ellie Otting. Welcome in, Ellie.
Hi.
So, this week of Christmas fun, did you do anything with family? Did you stay in town? Did you go on vacation? What were your Christmas plans this week?
Well, we went to Hutchinson on Christmas Eve, and we went to church with my cousins and my grandma and just my family. And then we just spent the night at my grandma's house and did a lot of fun stuff with her. And then on the 26th, when we got back, we went and we visited my grandpa on my dad's side, which was really fun.
Awesome. So sounds like a lot of good quality time spent with family, a little bit of traveling, yes, but not too bad, just within Minnesota. So not too,
yes,
stressful.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. I feel like that's kind of the way to do it around the holidays, you know, going to see people, but not making it a super extravagant vacation or anything.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. That's so fun. And then we are heading into the last week-ish of first semester when we get back to school. How has the first semester of your junior year gone, would you say?
I would say it's gone pretty well. Like, I mean, as well, I mean, junior,
yeah,
year.
Junior year is...
Junior year is crazy.
Historically, just the hardest year of high school.
Yes. I think it's taken quite a bit of adjusting, but I think as it's gone on, it's gotten better. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm starting to kind of get a hang of it, feel more comfortable with, like, the new workload,
mm-hmm,
as far as that type of stuff goes.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
And so some of the adjustments you're making are, like, based on homework load and just, like...
Yes.
How hard your classes are and stuff like that.
Yes, and definitely, like, I think getting more sleep has helped me with that.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Like, I have needed to lock in on sleep because freshman and sophomore year, like, I wasn't maybe doing the best job of that. So junior year, like, I really needed to focus up.
Yep.
So.
Yep. For me, junior year, I was also just not sleeping, and
yeah,
it really impacted my school and my sports. So that is really good, Ellie, that you learned that lesson,
yeah,
early. I learned that lesson very late, and I was,
yeah,
very sad about it. So that's awesome, Ellie.
Yeah.
Kind of dialing it back to this fall, you were a captain, a junior captain for the Gator Girls swim and dive team.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about how that season went for you personally?
It went well. There were a lot of time-wise, kind of some highs and lows of the season, which I think is very normal for everybody. I think that the best part of my season was probably just being around the girls. It's so fun, and just, like, getting to be around some of my best friends every single day.
Yes.
And especially because our team is such a wide age range, getting to just meet so many new people,
mm-hmm,
as they join. So, yeah.
Yeah, so just all around a good season,
just
would you say?
Just a good season.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And the summer before your fall season, did you meet up with your other co-captains and say, like, okay, these are the goals we have for this season, these are the things we want to happen? Like, did you kind of, like, lay out the season how you wanted it to go in your guys' eyes?
Yes. One of the biggest things I think that we talked about was just making it a really fun season for all,
yes,
of the girls. I think on the swim team specifically, we love to focus on just, like, our team culture.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's just something that's I mean, obviously important for all teams, but especially to us.
Yeah.
When we were planning out the season, just planning a lot of, like, fun things to do as a team and team bondings and making sure that we got, like, game time at practices.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Definitely. And especially since you said, like, you have such a wide age range and there are so many new girls, like, just making sure everyone gets to know everyone. And
yeah.
Obviously, it's really hard with a big team, but that's awesome that you really put, like, a focus on that because I feel like that is so, so important, even in, like, individual sports, to have a really good team culture.
Yeah.
So that's awesome, Ellie. I love that. Was there anything specifically throughout the season you felt like really bonded the team or was just like really a highlight every week or every month that was just a really fun time either during practice or at team bonding?
Well, one of my favorite things that we did was animal ball or water polo.
Water polo.
We used to play animal ball, which is pretty much like water polo with no rules.
Okay.
But that can be a little bit of a safety hazard when...
Yeah, it can get a little crazy, I'm sure.
It can get a little crazy because we're all very passionate people. And so when you give us a ball, essentially it's like a volleyball.
Yeah.
And we just like get after it.
And it's just free reign.
It's just free reign. So we did have to add a couple more rules to the rule book this year.
You had to put some padding around it.
Yeah. Had to put some padding around it. But yeah, it's one of my favorite games because you just like see a different side of so many girls that like is just so competitive and just like it's so cool and it's so fun.
And I'm sure it's interesting to see like you're usually individually swimming against each other, but when it's like a team sport and it's really like a competitive atmosphere, I'm sure it just brings out a whole new teammate you've never seen before.
Yes, yeah,
it's that is crazy. So much fun.
Yeah.
And speaking of swimming being an individualized sport, do you feel like when you guys are like really competing in the pool at meets, it feels very individual or do you think it still feels like a very team-wise atmosphere?
That is a great question. I think that when you're in the water actively during a race, that's when it feels really individual.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're behind the blocks and like about to start your race, I think that's the part that feels really individual. But as soon as you leave the water and as soon as you like hit the wall and you look up at the board, whenever you get out of the water, there are always people that are there for you.
Yes.
And I think that that is something really special about our sport, and because we have so many people on deck and we're all like supporting each other and being there for each other, that's what makes it seem less individual all the time. So I would say like really only when I'm swimming is when I feel like it's individual.
Yeah.
But when I'm on the pool deck with my friends, like we're just cheering people on and we're having a good time.
So it's really only individual when you're like down there in the water by yourself.
Yeah.
But then you have your team rallying around you still.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
That's so awesome, Ellie. Yeah. And I run track and field, and I know you also do track and field.
Yes.
And I've honestly found that doing an individual sport in a weird way kind of amps up the team spirit and kind of amps up, like, how much the team, like, comes together and really rallies for each other. Have you found that to be true in swim?
I do think so. I think that, like, during a team sport, I don't have much to go off of that because both the sports that I do are kind of individual.
Yes.
But I feel like you want it really bad for the team.
Mm-hmm.
But when everybody is working almost, I don't want to say by themselves, but if you're doing what you can as an individual to help the team, it makes you want it so much more for the person that you're cheering for.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And
that's such a great way to put it, Ellie.
Yeah, it's just like makes it even more exciting when somebody reaches their goal because you know that it's not only great for them but it's also great for the team.
Yes. And it's like, wow, you really worked hard for that. And it's really like you accomplished that, like yourself, like we supported you, but you accomplished that. So it just makes you so much more like excited for them because it's like, oh my gosh, like you did it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. That's so awesome, Ellie. Yeah. That's interesting that it's kind of like a shared experience among like individualized sports. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so you had an amazing fall season. You had a bunch of people going to state and competing there.
Yes.
And then transitioning into this winter, you are actually doing Rock and Roll, which is the production the high school puts on every 2 years of some like singing and dancing and old songs. I'm sure you can explain it a lot better than I can.
Yeah. I would say that it's kind of like a play with no plot, if that makes sense.
Okay. That is such a great way to put it, Ellie. Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah. You explained it much better than I did. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got into rock and roll? Like, were you just instantly interested? Like, oh yeah, this is totally in my lane. Like, this is totally something I'm interested in. Or was it like, oh, like my friends are doing this?
So I had the opportunity to do it 2 years ago, and I actually decided to not do it 2 years ago because I had some club swim stuff that I had to do.
Okay, gotcha.
But this year, you know, obviously the chance came again to audition mm-hmm. for the show, and, you know, this is the only year that I'll be able to do it because, you know.
You'll be a senior next year, and then you'll be graduating.
Exactly.
So you just kind of took the opportunity since you couldn't do it freshman year.
Yeah. Yes.
Are you like a singing and dancing kind of person? Are you more of an athlete? Are you a little bit of both?
I feel like I've always been in choir, so I've been kind of a singing person. Dancing is really a whole new realm for me.
Okay.
I haven't really danced since I was probably in kindergarten.
Yes.
So it'll definitely be interesting in the dancing world, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll pick it up as you go.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through what the auditioning process was like and then like kind of what your role is in rock and roll coming out of that audition process?
Yes. So first you go to this like meeting thing mm-hmm. and you get taught this dance. I'm a person who learning a dance, I don't catch on very fast. Mm-hmm. So there was definitely some practicing behind the scenes.
Yes.
But when you audition, you do the dance and then you sing for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you audition in a group, which I found was so nice because I am a person who gets very nervous when I do that type of thing.
Oh my gosh, same.
So, yeah, it was...
It alleviates some of the pressure.
Yes. And
that's
it
awesome.
Definitely felt very nice to be, like, in a group and stuff.
Yes. But, okay. Yeah. And then you sang, you danced, and then what part did you get? Like, do you audition for a specific part, or do they just kind of assign it to you?
So you, if you're auditioning to be a part of the cast, you kind of just like put yourself out there and then they kind of decide where they're going to put you.
Okay.
So I think everybody dances in the first and last song. If you're not like singing in the first and last song. So mm-hmm. I'm in both of those. I'm singing backup in a song and then I have this like group lead situation
awesome.
In a different song. So,
okay. Yeah. That is so much fun. And we're friends, so I know a little bit about this behind the scenes already. So you're singing with six other girls, five other girls?
It's either like six or maybe there's seven other girls.
Probably like six or seven.
Yeah.
Okay,
like
gotcha.
Yeah.
Yep. So that'll be super exciting to get to know them and sing with them. That sounds like a really fun opportunity, Ellie.
Yeah, and I think it'll alleviate some of like the worry and fear and pressure.
Again, some of the stress, like just not being on stage like all by yourself is obviously nerve-wracking for anybody. But yeah, that's amazing, Ellie. I can't wait to see you do that. I can't wait to come watch the show.
It'll be so fun.
It'll be so fun. And then this is, of course, a long, 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 long ways off track and field this spring.
Yes.
You are a thrower on the girls' track and field team. Can you just tell us a little bit about how you got into that?
Okay, throwing is so fun, first of all. Second of all, I've just always been a swimmer. Like, just the most, like, stereotypical, I don't like running swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my friends actually told me to join track, and I was like, are you crazy? Because I was like, I'm going to have to run, and I
am... Not a runner.
I'm not a runner. And she actually told me about throwing, and I was like, wow, that sounds really fun.
Yeah.
Because the first thing that she told me about was our little snack pantries that we make at meets.
Yes. I am a runner on the track team and I am very, very jealous of the little snack time you guys have before all of the meets.
Yes. We do like a little potluck and it's so fun. So yeah, my freshman year I decided to join and I was a little bit nervous at first, but they were very welcoming just across like the runners and the throwers. Yeah, I'm coached by Tim and Darwin and they are great and yeah, they just make it so much fun. And obviously Smith.
And obviously Smith, who is just a total rock star.
Yeah.
So you joined freshman year. What made you keep coming back for more and more seasons?
I think just it's so much fun. Like it really just truly is so much fun. I think the part that I was worried about was like maybe that I wouldn't fit in or like I wasn't going to have very much fun, but that's truly like not how it is.
Did not have to worry about that.
I did not have to worry about it. It's so much fun. And the team is just so supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Like whether you are a star thrower or whether you like only throw at 2 feet.
Yeah, like, literally.
They are cheering you on.
Yeah. So. No, the track team will just meet you where you are. And that is something that's so beautiful and not seen in very many sports. So I think that's a really awesome part of track. Yes.
Yeah.
And do you kind of connect with the competitive side of throwing a little bit too? Or is it really just about like going, seeing people you love and just like having fun?
I think part of it is obviously I want to do well and I want to keep improving my throws.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of it for me is just seeing my friends and socializing and being around the people I love. So
yes. Yeah. And that's awesome. It's fun to have like a fun sport and then like a more serious sport almost.
Yeah.
Like you're definitely a swimmer by nature. Yeah. So having a little fun track sport in the spring, moving your body in a different way is definitely very good for your mind and your body and just everything overall. So that's awesome, Ellie. I'm very glad you joined track.
Yes, it's so much fun.
Yes, so much fun. Okay, well, that is so exciting, Ellie. I cannot wait to hear more about rock and roll and how that goes for you, and I can't wait to see the show.
Yes, it'll be so fun.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, Ellie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it's been such a treat to come and talk to you. And thank you, KYMN fans, for listening. If you missed part of this interview live or want to listen to it again, head to our website, kymnradio.net, and tap on the sports header. You are with Liz Campbell on this week's Meet the Raider on the Raider Wrap. Tune in for more sports this week on KYMN 95.1, The One.
Northfield Hospital and Clinics is proud to provide your family with the best orthopedic care across the region. Our highly respected orthopedic team sees patients in Northfield, Faribault, Farmington, and Lakeville clinics. Whether it's an athletic injury or arthritis, joint pain or muscle strain, our orthopedic team can help. From sprains to total joint replacement, we've got you covered with a range of surgical and non-surgical options. Call 507-646-8900 to make an appointment.